Merry Christmas. Aren't you glad that we have still the freedom to say Merry Christmas rather than Happy Holidays? This world is getting too politically correct, that we are bound. Let's pray that we will never lose this freedom. Let us stand up for our faith. Let me ask you a question. What is the biggest thing, what's the greatest thing that's happened to you? Is it a boyfriend, girlfriend? Is it a first chance to drive the automobile? Is it a new house or a new electronic gadget of some kind, or a new job? Or perhaps a new addition to your family? For Luisa and I, this year we have a new grandson. So that thing changed our life completely. Nathaniel changed our life completely. What changed the course of human history entirely, both in the past, in the present, and in the future? I think I ask this question, you know the answer. Christmas changed the course of human history entirely. It never will be the same again. But why? What happened? The Apostle John used a very unique word to describe this event. And in Greek, it's called logos. Logos, I wonder if I have my PowerPoint. Yes? The word logos is used in the book of John almost at the first sentence. In the beginning was the logos. In the beginning was the word. Let us read, this is our scripture reading. And this passage that I will be using today is so very important to our Christian faith. I hope that you, every one of us, memorize verses 1 to 14. Memorize it in our heart. It's so fundamental to our faith. Let's read it together, this first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. In this passage of Scripture, we have the description of God revealing himself to us. We have searched God for centuries without finding him. But God revealed himself in this passage to us. There are three very big events. I call them the biggest events for human history. Three big ones. The first one is his revelation. He revealed himself to us. The second one, the greatest event in our human history, is the greatest tragedy. Tragedy. And the third one is the greatest gift from God. I'll come back to those three points. The great revelation, the great tragedy, and the great gift from God. Let's look at this passage one more time. The passage: in this beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness had not overcome it? There are several concepts here. And we will explore each one of them. But you remember, throughout human history, man has been using all kinds of ways to find out what is this life all about? Where do we come from? Where are we going? Without finding the answer. Next slide, please. We use our human reason to reason it out. Philosophers have used philosophy to try to find out. And, of course, later on, scientists trying to explore this, try to discover the reasons without finding it. Then human beings resort to religion. They invented all kinds of religion to find out. And some things, if I do good work in my life, if I work hard, if I be a good person, I will find the meaning of life. But unfortunately, all of this in vain. All of this in vain. They begin to worship, next slide please. They begin to worship all kinds of images that they made out of their own imagination. You see here a multi-armed Guanyin. You see Buddha. Sit. This Buddha is so tall, you can look, have to look up like this. And, of course, Diana and Baal and the golden calf. They make images like this to create them so that they can bow down and worship them. They make them out of gold, silver, wood, rock, so that they can worship an object of their hands. How pathetic can this be? Where God has revealed himself to us through the Bible. But they could not find it. That's the first greatest revelation God has given to us. He himself. Let's look at the points. Go back to here. In the beginning, what does he show to us? He exists in the very beginning. He's pre-existent. He exists before anything else. He exists in the beginning. And he is God. He was with God. He is God himself. This is what he revealed to us. And he is so powerful. He's so mighty. He created all things. And he's so loving, so kind. He gave us life and the light. So this passage of verse 1 to 5 is showing us about who God is, how, what kind of being he is. He is pre-existent. He is with God. He is God. He was God. And he was the creator of all things. And he was the light and light of man. Man searched so much, so hard. They worked so hard themselves to find God. There's a great chasm, great barrier. The man tries and tries and tries to reach God. Where's God reveal himself to us? This is the greatest event in human history. One of them. The second great event is the great tragedy. The great tragedy of human beings. Let's read this verse together. 10 to 11. He was in the world, and through the world was made the world. This is the tragedy, isn't it? As you read, I'm sure you catch the spirit of that. When Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, human beings looked at it as a failure. Utter failure. Why? He was born in a nameless town, Bethlehem. He was raised up in a small town, Nazareth. And people say in the Bible, can anything good come out of Nazareth? These people from big cities, they're big city folks. They look down upon this little town. So that was a humble origin. They think that Christ should come like a mighty king and followed by many, many people. But he came as a humble servant. And as he began to serve, as he began to minister to the need of the people, he fed the poor, he healed the sick, and he taught the men, people, about the kingdom of God. But guess what happened? He aroused the jealousy of the then religious leaders. And they think this man is just a poison. He's going to hurt our nation of Israel. The Roman Empire will come down and stamp everything all out. So they plotted to kill him. He is a man of sorrow. The book of Isaiah 53 tells us, man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He was despised, rejected. So as he lived, you see these pictures, he was despised by people. Human beings consider his coming as a failure. So we rejected him. We put him on the cross. We crucified him with the most awesome, awful death. He died on the cross for you and me. What turns out to be a failure in the minds of people was a complete victory, because this is the purpose he came. He came to save us. He came to die for our sins. He took our sins upon his shoulder and died for us so that we can be forgiven. But man looked upon him and said, they do not accept him. Their rejection of the Savior Messiah, ignoring him, rejecting him, was the greatest human tragedy. God revealed himself so gloriously to us, but man, in our blindness, reject him. The third point, now let me come to, the greatest gift. At this season, we know nothing that you and I can give compares with this greatest gift. Last night, many people were shopping to the small hours of the day. Maybe throughout the whole week, people were shopping and shopping. All those gifts are so temporary. Here today, gone tomorrow. But the greatest gift that God has given us is the gift of his Son. Let's also read this passage and trying to remember and memorize them. 12 to 14. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. His being his glory, who are great, glory and truth. Okay, we all know that the greatest gift is Jesus Christ himself. But what does it mean? What is the meaning of Jesus Christ being the greatest gift for Christmas for us? The first verse here, verse 12, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Anyone who believes in Jesus' name, he automatically becomes what? The children of God? That is a radical, complete transformation. from being the old self to a new person, completely new. Besides, this new person is not just any old body. This new person takes on the nature, the family of God. We become His children. Think about the impact of this statement. All who receive Him, to those who receive and believe in His name, He gave Him the right to become children of God. Now, what does the children of God mean? Some of you have children. Some of you are children of a family. You take on the DNA, don't you, of your parents. This is what it says. We take on the nature of God in us. When we become a Christian, we receive God's nature, a little piece of God in us. We are His, and He is ours. That nature, what kind of nature does God have? The next verse says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We actually have seen God's nature. This is not something that somebody invented. We have actually witnessed Him. He became flesh. He came down to us. He lived among us. And what do we see? We see something. It says, we have seen His glory. We've seen His glory. And what does the glory mean? Full of grace and truth. When I first became a Christian many years ago, this phrase intrigued me. I said, what is truth and grace in Jesus Christ? Then I begin to read the Bible, read the Gospels of Jesus, life of Jesus. Truth is uncompromising. Grace is unconditional. When Jesus tells Peter, you're going to deny me three times. What is it? That's truth, isn't it? He does not hide the fact. That's the truth. Peter, you're going to deny me. But later on, Jesus came back and said, Peter, you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter is restored from that relationship. There was a woman who is an immoral woman. Jesus went to her and said, I know the husband that you have now is not really your husband. You already have five husbands. That's truth, isn't it? That's not hiding anything. No political correct statement here. Your husband is not really your husband. You're just living with her, with him. But later on, Jesus said, you're forgiven. You're forgiven of your sin. Do not sin anymore. Receive the living water that I give you. That's grace. That's grace. That's forgiveness. That's complete acceptance of this person. Another occasion of Jesus that sticks in my mind so strongly. Jesus was facing a crowd of people. They were so angry, they were so mad, they had picked up stones from the ground, and they were going to throw that on a woman. So Jesus came to them and said, he who has no sin, you can throw the first stone. There was dead silence. Nobody said a word. Everybody's mouth was shut. Then gradually they let the stone fall on the ground and walk away. That was truth. That was the brave statement to the crowd. Said, if you have no sin, You can throw the first stone. What is grace? Grace is the Lord Jesus coming to this woman. My daughter, go home. Sin no more. Sin no more. That's grace. I have hardest time thinking about this. I said, when I tend to be truthful, it hurts people. I don't know how to say a true statement. And when I tend to be graceful, I ignore a lot of things that shouldn't be ignored. I have a hard time blending these qualities together in one person. Be truthful and be graceful. What did Jesus do? We see his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. That is the God nature. That is what God has given you and me. We can live in this world and live truthfully and gracefully as well. This is a powerful gift that God gave us, his Son, that we become his children. And once we become his children, we receive part of his DNA in ourselves, and we can live every day a holy life, not out of our own goodness, not out of our own power, but out of God's Holy Spirit residing in us. So those are the three points that I'd like to share with you today. Let me summarize them. The greatest revelation of God about himself, because we're so blind, by searching we cannot find it. The greatest tragedy of our human race in rejecting God, because we're so stubborn, we're so evil, we do not want to receive him. And then he gave us the greatest gift from God when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And he lives in us. And he gives us his own godly nature to be part of us so that we can live in this world to honor him, to glorify his name. This is my last point. These are the three points. I'd like to conclude with prayer. In this prayer, I'd like you to think about these points. I'd like you to think about the song that we have sung earlier. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room. There is room in my heart for thee. Today I want to challenge you. I want you to pray with me. And if you should recognize from the song that you have not made a room for God in your heart, I want you to make that decision today. Shall we bow our heads? Let us pray and make the greatest decision in our life. For those of you who have already accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have made a good room in your heart for him. He is the Master and the Lord. He deserves the prominent place in your heart. Do you allow him only in the garage of your house? In a storage room? I pray today that you open your heart wide for Jesus. Ask God to come in to your heart. I'm making the best room in my life for you. There's room. If this is your desire, would you raise your hand with me, indicating that you want to open your heart for him to have the best place in your life. In the past, I only had a small space, only had a small room. Raise your hand to say you want to serve him, love him more every day. God, come in to take control of my life. Be my master. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You may put down your hand. Where do you stand at this wonderful Christmas time? Have you asked him to come into your heart yet? Is he your personal savior? If not, don't delay any further. Receive him today. He wants to come into your heart and transform you that you may have his wonderful God nature inside of you, full of truth and grace. As you pray silently with me, I want you to raise your hand, and all Christians pray with you together to ask God to help us. If you want to receive Jesus Christ today as your personal Savior, would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? I want to receive Jesus as my personal Savior today. Come into my heart. Change me. Make me have your nature, the nature full of truth and grace. Come to my heart today. Forgive me all my sins and let me walk with you. If you pray this prayer, thank you, Lord. You may put your hands down. If you have made this decision in your life, you can speak to Elder Leonard and or myself about your decision later. Lord, I thank you for the meaning of Christmas. Thank you for that you have come to save me from sin and eternal death. Thank you for living in my heart. Thank you for every decision that was made today for you. Keep them in your love and power. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us until he comes. Amen. Amen.